So the Apostle Paul deals with this subject of the resurrection and the importance of it. We who are saved and redeemed will be resurrected because Christ was resurrected. But if the resurrection of Christ was a fraud, if it never actually happened, if Christ today is in the tomb, then our faith is in vain, our preaching is in vain. But we are reminded, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This chapter reminds us the victory we have over death because Christ died for our sins and that he rose again.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Welcome to our program today. You have been listening to None But Christ Can Satisfy. Oh, the great debt that we owe the Saviour. Oh, the outpouring of his love for us upon the cross of Calvary. And that is the theme of our program today as we go to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the first part of the message entitled, Here Because of Christ. May the Lord be pleased to richly bless his word to our hearts.
For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how the Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How the Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Amen. Why are we here? That is a question that many ask of humanity, but it is also an excellent question for the Church of Jesus Christ to ask. Why are we here? Why are you here? Why are we gathered here today as the church around the table of the Lord? And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse 3, it gives us the answer to those questions. We are here because Christ died for our sins. As we considered last Lord's Day, for those who weren't here, we looked at the importance of creeds and confessions within the Church of Christ, and we considered these verses as a stepping stone to what we said about creeds and confessions. And this chapter is an example of a creed or a confession. These verses, especially verses 3 to 5, give us a concise explanation or summary as to what the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is. As one commentator put it, the gospel recounts what Jesus Christ did to save sinners. The gospel is the good news of God concerning his son Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross to save sinners. And the gospel is a proclamation of historical facts concerning Christ. Verse 3 and verse 4 tell us this: Christ died and that he was buried. Those are historical facts. We believe those events to be true, that they actually happened, that Christ died and that he was buried. And then we have the spiritual purpose here, the spiritual aspect. He died for our sins. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And the Scriptures teach us the purpose of Christ in coming into this world to die for our sins. And the truths of the gospel: our sin, our misery, our need of Christ, his death for us, his Spirit working faith and repentance in us, are fundamental truths to the gospel. They are truths we ought not to give away, or truths we ought to let slip within our lives and within the church. They are truths we ought not to deny. The whole theme of this chapter is the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection is a vital and pivotal doctrine of Christianity, and our faith is based upon the resurrection of Christ. Verse 14 tells us, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." So the Apostle Paul deals with this subject of the resurrection and the importance of it. We who are saved and redeemed will be resurrected because Christ was resurrected. But if the resurrection of Christ was a fraud, if it never actually happened, if Christ tonight or today is in the tomb, then our faith is in vain, our preaching is in vain. We're wasting our time as we gather today in worship. But we're reminded, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This chapter reminds us the victory we have over death because Christ died for our sins and that he rose again. And the apostle is writing to the believers of Corinth. There is much encouragement here regarding Christ and his resurrection. But he brings them back to the gospel that he preached. This gospel that is founded and built upon this truth, that Christ died for our sins. This was the message the apostle preached. This was the message the church was built upon. This was the message, unashamedly, the apostle believed. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And he believed within his heart because he had experienced it himself that there is a Savior, that the Savior redeems him from sin. And there on the road to Damascus, the apostle Paul met the Savior. His life was changed. And he became not a persecutor of the church, but a preacher for the church. And in his missionary journeys, he came to Corinth, and there he preached this gospel that he had received, this gospel by which they are saved, verse 2. And he delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This was the message of God. Wasn't Paul's idea, wasn't Paul's philosophy. It was God's message to the people at Corinth. And Paul came as a servant of Christ, preaching the word of Christ. Paul was there in Corinth because of Christ. Those believers in Corinth who were part of the church and who received this epistle from the apostle were there because of Christ. And dear believer, you and I are here today because of Christ. Those who believe, those who received are here today because of Christ. Those of you who know not the Savior and have never turned from sin, you're here today because of Christ. God's grace in giving you an opportunity to hear the gospel. God's grace in sending Christ so his people can meet together. And you've come and you've joined with us. We're all here because of Christ. And we are all here because Christ died for our sins. And that's what I want us to consider this morning. That question, why are we here? And we are here because of Christ. That is our title today, here because of Christ. And firstly, I want you to see, we are here because Christ fulfilled Scripture. We are here because Christ fulfilled Scripture. Notice what verse 3 says. How that Christ died for our sins. Was this the idea of the apostle? Was this something that the disciples had engineered themselves? No. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And therefore, in the Word of God, there is this thread, as it were, running through Scripture. It goes from Genesis through to Malachi. It goes again into the New Testament Scriptures. At this point in time, there was no New Testament. It was the Old Testament. But that thread continues into the Old. And it is a thread that is drawn through the Word of God. And it points toward the Savior, the Messiah, the one who would die for our sins. And the Old Testament reveals the Savior. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we see something here of the need of the Savior. Adam and Eve had sinned, man had fallen. And what does God do? He gives this great promise called the proto-evangel. The first time the gospel is preached, the first message of the gospel, the first evangelistic message. The proto-evangel. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The first mention of one who would come. The one who would be the Messiah. And as history passed and as God's revelation came upon generation by generation, they saw more and more of what this was about. The Savior, the Messiah, the mercy of God. Man had lost communion with God. Man had fallen into sin. Genesis 3 explains to us that sin entered into this world and death by sin. And so men will die because men have sinned. But yet there's a promise of one who will be the deliverer, one who would be the Messiah. And that promise was revealed time and time again. We can think of Noah. We considered Noah last night at our men's prayer meeting. And Noah built an ark. We know the children's song, perhaps, Mr. Noah built an ark. But that ark points to the Lord Jesus Christ. That ark of salvation for Noah. That one door that was in that ark that him and his family went in and God shut it points to the one way of salvation. It points to the ark of refuge that is the Lord Jesus Christ who died upon Calvary for our sins. Again, an account that we know much about. An account that is known in this world. Noah and the ark. Noah and the flood. But yet the ark points to the need of men and women to get right with the God of heaven concerning their sins. If we turn to Psalm 22, we see a psalm that has its great fulfillment upon the cross of Christ. Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? A psalm that speaks to us of the death of the Savior. There are other things in this psalm. We won't turn to them. But those opening words, the cry of Christ from the cross, forsaken. He was forsaken by God because he had upon him the sin of his people. The spotless and pure Lamb of God, as the Word of God tells us, was made sin for us. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 53, we find that this chapter, written by the prophet, speaks much to us about the death of the Savior, the one who was a tender plant, the one who was oppressed, verse 7, and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. This chapter speaks vividly of the one who would be the suffering servant, the one who would die, the Lamb of God who was slaughtered for sin. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Verse 10, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. The Old Testament scriptures speak of Christ and speak of how the Messiah would suffer and die for the sins of his people. Moving into the New Testament scriptures, we have in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, the verse 17, the Savior says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He came to fulfill. To fulfill those Old Testament prophecies. Matthew 1:21 speaks of the name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. He died for our sins according to the scriptures, and his death is the very purpose and the message of scripture. The Old Testament is all about Christ. There in Luke 24, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, the Savior spoke to them about the things contained in the Word of God. He spoke to his disciples in the upper room in that chapter about the things contained in the Psalms and in the prophets concerning him. Savior is the message of Scripture. And he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. His death is the very purpose and message of Scripture. And then, dear believer, we believe that message. We believe he died for us. We should not neglect the Scriptures. We should not ignore the Word of God. We see that especially in light of the Old Testament that prophesies of the Savior coming. The Old Testament today in many circles is cast aside. It's old. It's obsolete. It's the New Testament we have to be concerned about. It's the New Testament we need, they say. But the Old Testament reveals our glorious Savior who fulfilled it all. The same is true of the Ten Commandments. Christ's coming and Christ's death did not change those commandments. It did not alter those commandments. We are to delight in the law of God and delight in those commandments. And therefore, all of Scripture Dear believer, all of Scripture is to be precious to you because it reveals your Savior. It reveals your Christ. When we come to the table of the Lord today, we come to receive grace from Him. We come to remember His death. And how do we know about His death? We find it in the Scriptures. That death that moves us. That death that He suffered out of compassion and love for us. It's found in the Scriptures. Oh, that we would read and study. Oh, that we would have the Scriptures held in high esteem in our lives, in our homes, and in our churches. Because it is the Scripture that speaks of Christ. He fulfilled the law perfectly because we couldn't. And that is why we are here. His perfect righteousness imputed to us because He fulfilled the law in our stead. Oh, are you trusting the Christ of Scripture today? Are you here because in the Word of God you've seen that Christ fulfills it all? The blessed Savior revealed in Scripture. You're here because you read it. You're here because the Lord revealed it to you. You're here because you believe that truth. Or were you trusting in the Christ of Scripture? And then secondly, we see that we are here because Christ died for our sins. That is what our passage is directly teaching us here. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And we are here meeting together as God's people. We are here preaching the Word of God. Why? Because there is a message to proclaim. Because Christ did die for our sins. And the main thrust in the chapter, of course, is the resurrection. But our focus today is verse 3. Christ dying for our sins. And it was essential and necessary that Christ would die for our sins according to the Scriptures, because you or I could never save ourselves. This table before us, dear believer, it reminds you, and it reminds me, that we could never accomplish our salvation. We're not believers because we reach some sort of rank or pinnacle regarding good works or morality within our lives. We're believers because Christ died for our sins. And this table reminds us of this. And this table reminds those who are outside of Christ here today that there is a Savior from sin. And that Savior is not you. And that Savior could never be you. But that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. The bread that reminds us of His broken body. The cup that reminds us of His shed blood. It's all about our Savior and not about us. We can never save ourselves. If you're relying upon yourself and your good works and who you are, and upon maybe a Christian background, you're relying in vain. In vain. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. If you're relying upon all those things, your background, etc., and not the Savior, you're not saved. You're not redeemed. Salvation is of the Lord. We see this, Philippians chapter 3. Paul the Apostle was a great man of religion, great man within Jewish society. Philippians 3, we see in verse 3, for we are the circumcision. This is the true believer, the one whose heart has been circumcised, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. That word rejoice in the Greek means boast. And have no confidence in the flesh. And so the true believer does not have confidence in who they are. Does not have confidence in the works of the flesh, but in Christ. We see that here. And he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And this morning, if you were to say, well, I can trust in my flesh. I'm a good person. And I work for this charity. And I come to the church and I pay money into the church to support the ministry of the church. And I help others out. And I try not to do those things that are bad and evil and wicked. I try my best to be good. Paul the Apostle would turn round and say, well, I'm better than you because of who I was.
Our Spurgeon devotional is taken today from Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The fatherhood of God is common to all his children. Ah, little faith, you have often said, oh, that I had the courage of great heart, that I could wield his sword and be as valiant as he. But alas, I stumble at every straw, and a shadow makes me afraid. List thee, little faith, great heart is God's child, and you are God's child too. And great heart is not one whit more than God's child than you are. Peter and Paul, the highly favoured apostles, were of the family of the Most High, and so are you also. The weak Christian is as much a child of God as the strong one. This covenant stands secure. The world's old pillars bow. The strong, the feeble, and the weak are one in Jesus now. All the names are in the same family register. One may have more grace than another, but God our Heavenly Father has the same tender heart towards all. One may do more mighty works, and may bring more glory to his Father, but he whose name is the least in the kingdom of heaven is as much the child of God as he who stands among the king's mighty men. Let this cheer and comfort us when we draw near to God and say, Our Father. Yet, while we are comforted by knowing this, let us not rest contented with weak faith, but ask, like the apostles, to have it increased. However feeble our faith may be, if it be real in Christ, we shall reach heaven at last. But we shall not honour our Master much in our pilgrimage, neither shall we abound in joy and peace. If then you would live to Christ's glory and be happy in his service, seek to be filled with the Spirit of adoption more and more completely, till perfect love shall cast out fear. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.